Welcome, friends and colleagues. I'm Veronica Green, and this is Use Your Teacher Voice. The purpose of this podcast is for participants and learners, you, to listen to the voices of advocates and activists who are speaking out for and with others in education. Listeners will be able to notice the advocacy needs in their school communities for themselves and their students, especially for those whose first language is not English. By learning from other leaders' stories and evaluating their own personal experiences and the experiences of our students, my hope is that together we will be illuminated and empowered to lead others, creating a plan of action with strategies to improve not only the lives of our students, but our own as well. So, grab a cup of coffee or tea, or keep your eyes on the road if you're driving, and stay tuned to our stories of advocacy, courage, and joy.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to Use Your Teacher Voice. Today's episode is the second part of a dialogue with my bestie, or beastie, Susan Rogendor. Susan's a licensed clinical professional counselor in Illinois and a licensed mental health counselor in Iowa. She's the LGBTQ+ owner of Cofield Counseling Services in Bettendorf, Iowa, and she works with folks living with anxiety, including those persons in her LGBTQIA2S+ community. She's also currently in certification to expand her work with first responders, second responders, and law enforcement officers grappling with anxiety as well as other life issues. She's the host and producer of Fuck the Rules podcast and running her Instagram account as The Sweary Therapist. And when she's not out in her garden or reading, she's busy annoying her adult kids. I have been on her show, and it is fantastic. And we have the pleasure of having the second part of this series. If you missed last week's episode, please go back and listen to part one on Use Your Teacher Voice, where Susan gives us really personal, heart-to-heart information and direction on identity, language, and the first step to self-care, therapy. Let's jump right back into our conversation. Enjoy. So therapy, number one for self-care. Mm-hmm. Let's say I am an educational professional. I do not have health insurance with the school district. And I can't necessarily go to therapy at this point because of money. What are some other strategies to kind of protect myself or things that you would recommend that I do or don't do?
If they have not tried to exercise the option of having community mental health, because usually there's a community mental health center available to most persons in their living environment, their community. I will temper that by saying, once again, there's too few people and so much need.
Yes.
So it may be a few weeks before they can get in. So the sooner you start the process, the quicker that can come around.
Okay.
Now, let's say they don't choose to go that route. And persons are like, well, I want to work on self-care and I just don't want to do therapy. Okay, fine. Set up a routine so that you have better sleep at night.
Okay.
If you're watching TV until you fall asleep in front of the television, then something has to change in your routine at night so that you're turning that television off at least 30 minutes before you're ready for bed.
Mm-hmm.
It's about going to bed at the same time or as close to the same time as possible consistently.
Yes.
Science-based evidence studies have shown over and over and over again how our brains react positively to having that routine of sleep so that person's brains can do what they need to do in their sleep so that they wake up the next morning not feeling like, you know, the bottom dregs of a barrel,
yes,
right? Eating appropriately. Now, I am anti-diet.
Yeah.
I hate the diet culture. It can go screw itself. It destroys more people. And all the diet culture is worried about is getting your money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about health.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, it's about feeding yourself appropriately for whatever it is that you're dealing with in life. You know, for me, I have a heart condition and I'm diabetic and I also have celiac disease.
Yeah.
So I have to be kind of cautious about what foods I need to definitely not hang around with.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I eat what I want when I want. But I also know that if I eat more nutrient-dense foods that really do well for my body, and it can be a number of different things, I feel better. I have fueled my body. And I do it on a regular basis. And everybody has to figure out what that means for them in terms of what they're eating. So I always refer people to, even if you don't have a health plan, you can get hooked up with a dietitian or a nutritionist to help you kind of figure out what would work for you. Especially if you have, you know, different health issues, definitely work with your provider about finding someone who's appropriate to help you figure out what you need to do for your health eating.
Yes. And what these routines are, what I'm hearing you say with these routines is nourish yourself.
Absolutely. Which leads us to hydrating yourself too. I know people are tired of hearing that, but I also want to make sure people understand that hydration doesn't mean the, you know, 8 glasses of water every damn day kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You get your hydration from all sorts of things, whether it's coffee, tea, smoothies, juices, you know, just straight water, sodas, whatever. Mm-hmm. Make sure you stay hydrated. Now, persons, again, may have health issues that may not allow them to go around certain kinds of hydration choices. Again, work with your providers. Make sure you follow whatever it is that you and your provider are working through. The next thing is get some kind of movement. Most persons think, well, I'm a teacher. I'm running back and forth and everything else. Well, I get that. And it sounds like when people hear movement, they think, oh my God, I got to get on a treadmill and run 5 miles a day. Or I got to go and lift a lot of heavy weights for an hour every day. No, no. Our bodies are used to movement. But the thing is, you're under a different type of stress when you're at school and you're moving around versus just going out for a 10-minute walk around the block at night. And listening to your favorite podcast.
Which is, of course,
or
yours.
Not listening to anything at all. And listening to the trees and the birds or the traffic or whatever it is around you. Some kind of movement, even if it's just, if you like yoga, it doesn't have to be a strenuous yoga routine. Just something that helps you stretch out and get the knots out. Either at the beginning of your day, at the end of your day, or I don't know, maybe you have time that you want your routine to have. First a morning wake up yoga routine and an evening relaxation one. Whatever seems. And the best thing about the internet is a lot of this stuff is free on YouTube.
You're right. Yeah.
Highly recommend that. So you've got, if you can't do therapy, then you've got your sleep, you've got eating decently, and you've got to hydrate, and you've got to move.
Yeah.
The next thing is disconnecting. And it's hard. Oh, Lord, y'all. I know. I get it. It's hard to disconnect. I have to put my phone in another room so I'm not constantly picking it up during my show or my podcast. I mean, I love to knit. I love to knit. And I usually do that while I'm watching television, listening to my podcast. The problem is I'll have this thought and I'll think, oh, I'll look it up real quick. And then I go right down that rabbit hole, right?
Yep.
Disconnect.
Okay.
Put it in another room. And again, before you go to sleep at night, get off that phone at least 30 minutes before because your brain is already trying to settle itself down. You're not doing any favors with, you know, the light source that it has. And then on top of it, you're exciting your brain about all these other things you're looking at.
Or freaking yourself out.
Put it down,
because,
put it away.
Yeah, because you're connected to your work email and it's 9:52 and someone decides to send a work email and you're like, oh, I forgot about this. There's a meeting or something happens. And since you stay up later and there's more stress. So that disconnection.
Yeah.
Wow. I wish more people would do that.
Also, that point right there about working on your emails at 10 o'clock at night. This isn't a volunteer gig, although with the shitty pay y'all get, it might as well be. But it's also about setting up boundaries for yourself.
Thank you for bringing that word up, because I was going to ask you about that B word, boundaries.
Boundaries, people think, are a hard and fast thing, that once you set the boundary, that's the way it's always going to be. Now, this is something we work in therapy all the time when you come to see me. Boundaries can be very hard and fast, and it is never going to move. This is the steel curtain. This is never going to move. This is the way it's always going to be. And those are usually very exceptional reasons for doing it. As like, you know, if you're an estranged family member for someone who is dangerous to you emotionally, physically, sexually, financially, whatever, and you will never cross paths again.
Yeah.
That's a hard and fast boundary.
Non-negotiable.
Absolutely not. Now, for most persons, boundaries, we talk about, okay, that's a great boundary, but how are you going to sustain it? It may sound like a regret. I'm never going to read my work email after 9 o'clock ever again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. If that works for you. But what if there's a circumstance you need to move that boundary a little bit? What would those circumstances be? And you have to think about, oh, well, hell, if I'm substituting for someone or there's some big event coming up, I might have to do it for a day or two. So boundaries can be moved if they need to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's figuring out what is going to work for you. But there has to be a cutoff point for a lot of people about the work thing. Now, my hours are like noon to 9 p.m. So I will be on my computer until probably about 10 p.m. But at 10 p.m., that's it. Shut down. I'm done. I have to have my routine at night so that I can stay in good health.
Yes.
And that I can sleep well for the next day. So you just have to figure out what that's going to be for yourself. And the one book I would recommend to people, and some people may not want to pick it up because it's very sweary like I am, but it's called Unfuck Your Boundaries.
Yay.
It's by Dr. Faith Harper. She is a licensed therapist. She has a whole series of really great books out there. Most of them starting with Unfuck Your whatever it might be.
Okay.
She gets very sweary, but the nice thing is she has clinical stuff along with a narrative voice that makes sense of the subject she's presenting.
Yeah.
And Unfuck Your Boundaries is one of them. Now, some people think there might be some cheesy stuff like you're a rock star kind of thing. It's like, fuck yeah, I'm a rock star, whatever. But it's about letting you know that there are certain types of boundaries. There's certain types of behaviors. And this is what may apply to you. This might apply to something else. It might apply to work. It's a great book. It's a very quick read. I highly recommend that for persons too, when they're starting to think about boundaries, because most of us have never been taught about that.
Yes. And
I think that's pretty much the nutshell for persons about self-care.
That is a very, very large nutshell, because I've had so many conversations and listened to different things and been to trainings whenever we have trainings. And it's always just kind of a non-brainer. It's kind of a no-brainer. Oh, self-care. And it's assumed that we all know what that means, what it looks like, what it doesn't look like. And as helpers, as advocates, as activists going through compassion fatigue and pandemic crap and low pay, all the things that you've discussed, we don't know what it looks like. And we need help. We as helpers need help. And just as we work with students and probably as you're working with your clients, we can only do so much for others. And then when we ask for help, we also have to be ready to receive the help and to be our own self-advocates in order to continue doing what we're doing on a daily basis. So thank you for all of that. That was not a nutshell. That was a bibliography of wonderful things. I mean, I literally wrote everything down because I want to have this available book for my friends. I want to have this available on our website so people can look and think, okay, what were all those things just organized for me to just look at?
Mm-hmm. I think the number one thing, though, that leads to all the others is about boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that works for you?
Yeah.
What doesn't work for you? And how would you change that?
Mm-hmm.
I always caution people that when there's change, human beings hate change.
Yes.
And if we decide to take control and make that change, that's fine. But because of the relationships you engage in, whether it's at home, friends, family, work, if you start changing your rules of engagement, people are going to get kind of scratchy about it.
Yep.
They may push back. And again, you have to know what your boundaries are.
Yes.
And just expect that there are going to be some people who are really unhappy that you're not going with whatever it was that we always did, even though it doesn't work for you any longer.
And it doesn't work, especially in the school system. Not only does it not work for you, it really doesn't work for anyone around us. And so that's the difficulty of where what we talk about in this podcast is being an advocate and realizing, okay, there are some risks involved professionally and personally. If I'm going to say, you know, this is not only my boundary, but the boundary that I'm creating for how you're talking to the student that has these high needs, there are some non-negotiables. And am I willing to follow through with that boundary? So it's an awareness of, okay, not only I'm aware that something is wrong, what is it? I need to listen and learn about what's going on, now I need to, after I've created this boundary, like you said, the point you made is so spot on. When you create a boundary, the dominoes will fall. And you have to be ready for that. And there might be some actually really great dominoes that are going to fall, and people will come out of the woodwork to support you and say, oh, thank you so much for saying that in that meeting or asking that specific question, because we've all been waiting. But it has to come from us too, to ask for help and to also follow through with those boundaries. So, I mean, I'm a Brené Brown reader and listener, and her information on and research on vulnerability and boundaries has really made a difference in my life. And I'm really interested to read Dr. Faith Harper's book too. So
I can't say enough about Dr. Brené Brown. I think she's fabulous. Definitely people need to check out. She had a Netflix special that kind of explained her TED talk that she was famous for about vulnerability. So I highly recommend that too. Certainly persons, again, when they're thinking about speaking up and making a change, like I said, we all have to make a payment for our behaviors,
yes,
good or bad.
Yes.
So when you're setting those boundaries down, it may sound like a great boundary, but think about how are you going to sustain it and what relationships you're changing the rules of engagement with.
Yes.
And is it worth it? Only you can say that. You know, to other persons, they'd be like, yeah, go. Or, oh, no, I wouldn't do that, because they're putting their perspective and their life experience filters mm-hmm. in front of your boundary making.
Yeah.
They can't live your life. You can only live your life. And the simple fact is, if you're not sure, you need to find help. And if you can't afford therapy, it's about finding other persons that can advocate and support you in what it is you want to plan on doing.
Yes. That Netflix special is called The Call to Courage. And mm-hmm. really what we're talking about for self-help, the first thing is being courageous and saying, hey, I'm exposing myself here. I'm vulnerable. I need help. I cannot do everything that everyone wants me to do all the time, because I don't want to burn out. I love these children. I love my calling as a teacher or my calling as a therapist or a school counselor or an administrator, but I need help. And asking for help is so courageous. I really believe that. Mm-hmm. We're about to wrap up, but is there anything else you want to add before I give you your exit ticket questions, Ms. Rogendorf?
I do want to say that when we get our courage screwed to the sticking place, right, mm-hmm. and make sure it stays there, and we ask for help, sometimes we get the word no, or we get nothing in return.
Yeah.
Nobody speaks up and says, yes, I'll help you. At that point, you can feel discouraged and upset and angry and frustrated or sad. And those are all emotions that I would expect from somebody hearing nothing or having people tell them no.
Yeah.
At that point, it's worth taking a look about what it is you're asking for. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's too broad of a topic you're asking for help. Maybe it's too specific and you need to broaden it a little bit. And maybe it's about adjustment of what it is you're asking for help that will change the answer that you get when you ask again. I don't want people to get discouraged. I have asked for help on so many different levels of so many different things. A lot of times I heard nothing or I was turned down because I was asking the wrong source for help.
Yes.
And I didn't realize it until I asked for that help. Sometimes I got a yes and found out that wasn't the help that I needed at all. In fact, it made things worse sometimes.
Wow.
A lot of times it's about a person saying, I would love to help you, but I really have no idea how we're going to do this. And you have to just figure out and get a brainstorm session going. And then between the two of you, you figure out, okay, this is the help I asked for, but this is how we're going to actually do it to get the results that we want.
Wow.
And finally, when you do ask for help, try to have in mind what it is going to net you the most positive gain for asking for help. And that can sometimes lead you to the right people to ask for help from.
That is incredible, thoughtful advice. Really. Being prepared for whatever answer it is that you might get when you're asking for help is something we probably don't even think about. We're so worried about, oh, I actually am going to do this. Well, you have to be happy with whatever comes back and reassess and learn from that. So that is, I'm just amazed. Thank you for saying that, because that's so helpful.
Oh, you're welcome.
Now I ask all of my people the same, because I'm a nerd and I have, you know, we have to start the same and end the same like our classes, you know. So I want you to give a shout out to your favorite teacher. It doesn't matter if it's a graduate instructor or a first grade teacher or a music teacher, something, anyone.
Her name was Mrs. Briggs. She was a sixth grade English instructor at Bettendorf Middle School. This, again, was in the 70s, so this is going back a few years. She believed in me when it didn't seem like anybody was paying attention. I come from a very traumatic life.
Yeah.
And I was reading at two grades below where I was at, and I needed to go through what was called SRA at the time. I think it was called Skilled Reading Association or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And she sat in the classroom with me on my time off, like study halls and things like that, and helped me through those study sessions.
Wow.
And I ended up starting reading at two grades ahead of where I was at by the time we were done with those skills assessments.
I got goosebumps.
And she is the one person I always think about that if it hadn't been for her, I would not have developed my love of reading and language.
Wow. And knowing you the way I do and how much you read and talk about all of the different things that you've read, and it's amazing to me to think that there ever was a need for you to have someone like that teacher. So, wow. Thank you. Is it Mrs. Briggs?
Mrs. Briggs.
Thank you, Mrs.
I can't
Briggs.
Think of her first name,
That's
but
okay.
But it was Mrs. Briggs, and I don't know where she's at or what she's doing or if she ever thinks about me, but I've thought about her for many, many years. And I also think it's because of the difficulties I was having. I never take the skill or the ability or the access to read ever for granted.
Thank you.
And it's because of her care.
Well, bless her. Okay, second question. Where is your biggest source of joy in your work?
Oh, my gosh. My biggest source of joy in my work? Mm-hmm. Honestly, the biggest source of joy for me in my work is the education component. I used to do adult literacy for persons in our community. And it was through a literacy center that was through Scott Community College at the time. And I taught basic English and reading skills and very basic math for persons who were looking to get their GED.
Okay.
And I loved being part of that relationship with students. Mm-hmm. And I think with everything that I do in my therapy sessions, there is always a point in time that I'm able to go back and tell persons about different research, different news that's coming up for mental health, different advances that we're having and what that means. I get to teach them about the human body and how chemistry works, mm-hmm. and how that works with our feelings and our thoughts and our actions. I get to talk about theories of those persons who came before us about this is why we talk about these things, and it connects things for them. And I think that, again, is the biggest joy I have in my job is the education component.
You're a teacher. I love it. Number three, who has been an important voice in your life? It can be maybe the sound of someone's voice that has been really important to you or something someone said.
My kids. You know, I have my biological daughter, and then I have my five other children that I've brought into the fold, mm-hmm. or the clan, as we call it. Their voices mean a lot to me because they trust me. And my biological daughter is stuck with me, but the other kids don't have to be, but they choose to stay with me and they choose to engage in that relationship. And that is so important to me. I love them all so much. I think about my friends like you, your voice among my other friends' voices, because you guys are so highly intelligent in your areas, but mostly it's because, oh my God, you're such good human beings. And yeah, we have our issues and yeah, we have our foibles and, you know, we have our cranky days. That's fine. But the goodness in you all is what amazes me in the fact that you continue to be good human beings, even though you guys have gone through some shit. Yeah. And I'm so fortunate that I know you all and have you in my life to give me that voice so that I can talk about these things that have happened to me and also hopefully become a better human being.
Well, thank you. Because we persist, don't you? Don't we? You persist. We all do.
And I think finally it's my grandmother, mm-hmm. Betty. She's passed in 2014 from complications of Alzheimer's. She would drive me crazy because she was always the personification of what I think a Christian is. Now, I'm an atheist, but she's a Christian, or she was a Christian. And she would always turn the other cheek. She spoke with a soft voice. She was the personification of God's grace that is given to others without merit, meaning that it's just given mm-hmm. that she's going to try to think the best of you. If I were to be anything other than an atheist, I would definitely try to be the Christian my grandmother was. As it is, I try to emulate some of her behaviors and her thinking in trying to think the best of persons or giving them the benefit of the doubt or trying to give grace when maybe it doesn't feel like that's the thing I want to do at the time. So those are the persons that their voices mean the most to me.
Oh, that's beautiful. Beautiful tributes to your friends and especially to your Nan and bananas in a bag.
bananas in a bag. Oh my God.
Okay. Number four, is there a song that gets you inspired or re-inspired or pumped up when you're having a shitty day that just makes you feel really great?
Oh my God, yes. I mean, it changes, but
currently, what's your go-to?
The most recent one is Make Way for the King by Ohana Baum.
Ooh.
And I think the word king, most persons see it as masculine, but being queer, I see it for anybody who wants to get shit done. And that's the song I listen to when I'm feeling like, you know what? I might not have all the answers, but damn it, I know how to get the things done. Mm-hmm. And that's the song I listen to.
I'm gonna totally check that out. Last question, which you've kind of already answered, but I'm just wondering if you can add one more little thing. What is one piece of advice for our listeners who are finding their voice in advocacy or who are preparing to advocate for themselves or others? What's one little piece of advice that you could give them?
Find others that speak like you do.
Ooh. Ooh.
It's that simple.
Love that. Find others that speak like you do. Wow. That is profound.
I hang with people who believe in human rights and speak like I do about everybody has just basic needs that should just automatically be a right to have access to.
Yes.
I hang with people who believe that even though there are issues with first responders, that there can be positive engagement, there can be positive support in order to change those engagements they have with their community.
Mm-hmm.
I hang with people who just believe that the world needs to be taken care of, and we need to find ways to do that and still be able to live our lives fully. So find people who speak like you do.
I love that. Susan Rogendorf, my beastie, my bestie. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying so many of these really heavy questions for our advocate teachers and our students and educators. Continue to do the beautiful work that you're doing. We support you. I support you. I love you. And we will see what happens next with our podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Veronica. Yes. You are one of the best people I have ever had the pleasure of knowing, of having the circumstances put us together mm-hmm. and make that connection. I cannot tell you how fortunate I am you showed up when you did and that we were able to make that connection. Thank you for the work you're doing in this podcast. It is necessary.
Thanks.
It's needed. Your voice needs to be out there because it provides that platform for others to hear that I really do think they're going to hear things that will support them and provide them with maybe some ideas and options they might not have thought about.
Yeah.
I want to thank all the teachers out there. Honestly, I just, to this day, even if I didn't have a Mrs. Briggs in my life, I cannot say thank you enough to all the instructors out there who are in overcrowded classrooms, mm-hmm. who are dealing with so much garbage that comes down from persons who have never set foot in a classroom mm-hmm. before. that are trying to tell you how to teach and do your job, to worrying about your students and making sure they're fed or they're clothed or they're not going home to violence or any kind of stress that will do harm to them. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for all the work that all the teachers, including yourself, are doing out there and looking out for these persons, these little persons, mm-hmm. who don't have any way to advocate for themselves, have no authority to change the circumstances they find themselves in. So thank you for being those persons for them.
Well,
and of course, I love you, darling.
Yes. And you're the same. You're on the front lines with us and you're doing the work. You're rolling up your sleeves and you're sitting down with someone who needs you. So thank you. And we will.
You're welcome. Anytime.
All right. Take all the best of good care and self-care and a new mani-pedi if you need it.
That's right. Make yourself look pretty if that's your
exactly,
gig.
Exactly. If that's what you need. All right, my dear. Bye.
Bye.
Use Your Teacher Voice is a podcast by an educator for educators and students and anyone curious about what is happening in our schools today. This podcast is not associated or affiliated with any district, school, or educational entity. The views expressed in this podcast are pretty much those coming from me and the guests on the show. If you would like more information about today's episode or any previous episodes, please visit the website useyourteachervoice.com. There, you can find links to resources for yourself, your colleagues, students, and staff. You can also connect with the show and other listeners. Remember, this podcast is for educational support and advocacy for our most marginalized students, families, and educators, and those who serve them. Listen and notice what you and they need. Learn and evaluate what you can do with allies and accomplices. Lead with a plan of action to empower others to effect change. Share your power.